Last night on HBO, Brian Gumbel had a sit-down with, Brian Gumbel's show, but they had a sit-down with Tiki Barber on the HBO program. It aired last night for the first time, and this is going to be Tiki's first interview that he's done. And Tiki requested, and they requested that his agent, Mark Lepsalt, also be on the line, so he's there now. Tiki, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How you doing, bud?
Thank you. I appreciate it. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
Now, Tiki, I just wanted everyone to know that they just felt that Mark wanted to be there. He was a big part of the interview last night and on HBO. Tiki, how did you, sitting watching that, how did you feel it went?
Well, you know, I think Armin did a great job. I respect him as a journalist because, you know, having sat in that chair many times over the last couple of years, he allowed me to tell my story and didn't get caught up in his opinion or any other opinions. It was words. I think that's important when you try to figure out what's going on in someone's life, to let them tell it as opposed to having other people's opinions distort, you know, what's going on.
No, and Armin Katayan did the piece, and a guy who has a reputation for being a very fair journalist. You know, you looked last night, now, there was the words you used, like depression. You looked like you were sad last night. Are you still feeling down, or are you back feeling better?
No, I feel great, Mike. You know, the interesting thing is very few times in your life do you stop and think about what's going on and reflect. Having that interview with Armin was therapeutic in some ways, because it allows you to talk about the things that are going on, and hopefully you can derive an understanding not only in yourself but other people. And it's like going to therapy, you know, in some ways. You know, there were some times back about a year ago where I didn't feel like I was depressed. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to get out of bed, and I didn't have a goal or a purpose. But it changed over the last 5 or 6 months, and now my life feels like it has meaning again, and that's what's most important for me and for my family.
Tiki, when you look back and you look at the reasons first why you quit, do you regret quitting? Did you quit for the wrong reasons, or did you quit for the right reasons?
No, not at all, Mike, and I've talked to you about this many times over the years. It just wasn't the right time for me to play the game anymore. I had lost my passion for it. I had so many other things going on that I wanted to step away from the game and do what was engaging to me. And you know, it was fulfilling for a couple of years. I don't regret that I didn't play for the Giants for the last 4 years. Obviously, they went and won a Super Bowl, and that's phenomenal for them. But it's not something that I look back on and say, "Oh, this ruined my career," because I wasn't there for that.
Are you? What is the reason you're coming back? Is it monetary? What is the reason you're coming back or trying
now
to come back?
That's the simple answer, Mike. You know, a lot of people get caught up in, "Oh, he needs a job. He's going through a divorce." Money, but it's not about that. It's a redemption for me. I need to be successful at something, and something I've always been good at is playing football. And I know that I have the physical ability to do it. I know I have the mental ability to do it. And having been around the game for the last 4 years, covering it first with NBC and then with Yahoo Sports, you know, I see this stage that I used to love. And the passion slowly started to come back as I watched the Steelers win the Super Bowl, as I went to the Super Bowl last year and saw how dynamic that was. You know, obviously following my brother over the last couple of years and going to his games, I realized this is something that can bring back me, and that's what's important.
Mike, if I could add to that.
Go ahead, Mark.
You know, thank you. A big part of it, and there's been the cynics who just assume, oh, the guy needs a J-O-B. You know, as I said to Armin, and Armin mentioned to Brian at the end of the show last night, that, you know, Tiki is fine. Does he need to find gainful employment eventually? Absolutely. You know, with four kids and the whole dynamic of that, he needs to have an income eventually. But, you know, and you can appreciate this, Mike, this didn't happen overnight where Tiki had a brain cramp one day and decided, I'm going to go play ball again after not lifting weights and doing what you need to do to be in football shape for 4 years. You know, two and two coming together is, you know, someone that he respects whispering in his ear and saying, hey, man, let's do this. and then, you know, things falling in place from there, if you know what I'm trying to say.
But, Tiki, are you coming back to football because you miss it, or are you coming back to football because you just had a big failure in broadcasting?
No, you know what? I think you're going a little bit of hyperbole out there, Mike, because I didn't have a big failure in broadcasting. I think if you laid the stage as you and Chris at the time tried to, that I wouldn't be the next Matt Lauer, yeah, you could say it was a failure. But I had a lot of fulfillment at NBC. I did a lot of great stories that I think had impact over the 3 years that I was there. So I don't think it was a failure. I think it was a learning experience. It turned out not to be the direction in broadcasting that I wanted to be in. But I think it's unfair for you to label it that way.
Let's stop for a second. Why is that unfair? You walked into a huge job. They set you up on a Today Show. They put you out there with a press conference in a job that, to be honest, to be fair, you were not qualified for, and in our business. And you went in there, and a couple of years later, you're out. So that's what you call a failure. I mean, there's no way around it, Tiki. That's a failure.
I think you're mixing words a little bit, Mike. My relationship with NBC started in a way that was very fulfilling. I was doing a lot of big stories, a lot of great stories, but the media world changed a little bit, and we all know that. The way that they're reported, stories are reported and filmed and budgeted is very different. It's very, you're putting it in simple terms, and if that's how you need to do it, Michael, then fine, you put it in simple terms. But I don't consider my time at NBC a failure. I learned a lot. Yeah, I wasn't trained to be a network television correspondent. I was trained in doing things on Fox News for 2 years and actually working at WFAN and WCBS, etc. It's a different animal that maybe I wasn't ready for, but not right. One that I'd say that I failed at.
It didn't work out. Wait a second. Let's be fair here. Let's be realistic. The guys at NBC, and I know all of them, they felt that you did a bad job, and they said you thought you were entitled. I mean, they were not complimentary about your work. Let's not run away from that. This is part of the story.
Well, Mike, if you tell me who it was and you get that person on air, I will have a debate with them. I think that's cowardly of someone to talk behind someone's back and not tell them, because the truth of the matter is, I don't know what I could have done better at NBC. I did great stories for them, and I think, you know, if you look at the things that I've done, whether it was on the soccer team down at Clarkson, Georgia, or the girl who had mental disabilities who swam across Lake Tahoe, or doing a story on a kid from an alternative family who had two gay parents, those type of things resonated with viewers, and I think I did a good job of connecting with them. Whether or not the NBC brass felt that was a good enough job, I don't know. You know what? I was never told. I was just doing the job the best way that I knew that I could.
Mike, it's a subjective business, and it didn't. Did the relationship work out as well as it could have? We all know it did not. But we're not looking back. He's looking forward today.
Agreed. But let's be honest here. I'm going to say it like it is.
Okay.
Tiki was a great football player.
Okay.
He was not a good broadcaster.
Okay.
He went to the Today Show.
So, Mike,
we're
going back to play football because that's what he was great at. So
agreed.
Let's talk about
but this is part of the story. Are you going back to play football because you didn't have a fulfilling or successful broadcasting career, or did you miss football?
He missed football. Mike, that's what I'm saying.
Mark, let him answer.
Mike, your question is leading. And, you know, a lot of people will say that you don't do a good job at what you do because you badger your viewers, your listeners. You badger your interviewers.
Tiki, that's ridiculous.
That's
subjective. I have a tremendously successful broadcasting career for a quarter of a century.
Okay.
That's like saying you weren't a good football player. That's stupid to say that.
Mike, you have a lot of people who don't respect the way that you do things. I respect you because I think you have a great knowledge about sports and about the game of football. Do you always do it the correct way? I'm not sure. Do you interview people the correct way? Because we're talking about my life here.
Tiki, you're in the subjective. Tiki, you got fired from today's show. You were bounced. It's like you're getting cut. Did they renew your contract?
I don't think you know the story.
guys,
and
let's
think you're
move
putting
on.
It, you're putting it.
Listen.
I think, Mark.
You're on a line, Mark. You're not there to be his bodyguard. Okay. The bottom line is, let's be honest here. Tiki was a star football player who has not been a successful broadcaster.
Okay.
All right, now he's coming back to football. The only thing I asked him was...
If you don't know the context, if I had a conversation, and Tiki had a conversation with an NFL head coach or NFL head coaches who said, hey, you want to try this thing? I mean, Mike, I sat in October of 2007 with John Gruden and Bruce Allen and sat and met with them about Tiki coming out of retirement as far back as October of 2007. And it wasn't the only conversation that we've had over the last 4 years talking about it. So if he decides to come back and play football again, what difference does it make why he's doing it?
Oh, it makes a difference. It does make a big difference. Because right now, Tiki, that whole piece, the idea is that Tiki's life isn't fulfilling right now, and he needs a success again. By his own words, he needs a success again.
And he acknowledged that there were failures over the
So what I asked him, well, that's fine. Now he was saying that there were no failures. I mean, let's be honest. There were broadcasting mistakes.
There's failures. That things that didn't work out as had been hoped on a variety of fronts, but today it's more about, are you going back to play football, and does he think he's going to be successful at it? And I, as I've said, and Tiki, you can jump in, he doesn't plan on being a third down back. He plans on being a significant contributor.
Well, let me talk to him about that. Go ahead, Tiki. Yeah, go ahead.
I understand what you're saying. You're not wrong, but you're also not right. Because to characterize what 3 years that I had at NBC is abject failure is just wrong. It's just not correct. The media landscape changed, and it became unfulfilling, I think, both for myself and for NBC.
Yeah,
we decided to part ways, and we go on with whatever they're doing, and I'm going on with whatever I'm doing. I didn't decide to play football in April of 2010 because I got, to use your words, quote, fired from the Today Show.
Okay.
I had so many other things going on in my life, personally and professionally, that I needed to sort out. Eventually, after covering football with Yahoo and being around my brother and reconnecting with things that I haven't connected with in a lot of years, I realized I needed something to get out of bed and look forward to. And something that I've always done really well is play the game of football.
Did you have a lucrative did you have a lucrative broadcasting option available to you right now?
I haven't looked. I don't know, Michael. It's not what I'm focused on right now. Could I go beat the pavement and try to get something in broadcasting? Yeah. But I don't know what I want to do in broadcasting. You know, I grew up, you're right, I grew up differently. I grew up reading broadcasting news on WCBS. I grew up doing Fox News, where it's not necessarily network morning television. It's interjecting your opinion, having a knowledge about something political or business-wise, et cetera, and having an opinion about it. And I was very good at that. Sitting down on the Today Show, reading the prompter, presenting the stories, it's a different animal that, yes, I wasn't qualified for. But did I do some good things there? Yeah, absolutely. Did it not work out? Yeah, absolutely. But I wouldn't say it was a failure. And I think that's unfair for you.
No, I don't think so. I think I'm being fair.
Way.
I think I'm being...
I disagree.
Mike, you're allowed to disagree. Yeah, we can disagree, but it's still
Mike,
my opinion.
I think what he's saying is he's proud of things that he did do there. It didn't work out as all had hoped. That's all. It didn't. You know,
did you think he made a mistake? I'll ask you a question, Mark. You think he made a mistake by going to NBC?
Mike, I would tell you, not dissimilar to what I said. NBC is a wonderful network. I think that Tiki had a relationship, and it's not something I haven't said to Tiki directly, that he had a relationship at Fox News Channel, and he had an opportunity to stay there. And in hindsight, and not dissimilar to me as his agent back in 2006, saying maybe sometimes you stay right where you're most comfortable. Yeah, I think that it had nothing to do with NBC at all. I want to be crystal clear. Had nothing to do with NBC. I just felt that at the time, and Tiki knows I've said this to him, that he was best off staying right where he was because there was a level of comfortability with the other talent, and it was a level of comfortability with management. And if he left and had gone to ESPN and ABC News, or if he had gone to CBS, it didn't matter, or CNN for that matter. You have to get indoctrinated to a new place. And Mike, as you know, when you're Tiki Barber scoring touchdowns on Sunday afternoon and you're the guy who kind of comes in and works on Tuesdays on your off day and you're a bit of an anomaly to the other talent, there's no threat. When you go, now you are in their backyard or in the lion's den with other talent and you're now part of the team, you have to, you know, the dynamic of relationships will change. But, yes, I thought at the time that because he had a relationship at Fox News with Roger Ailes and Bill Shine and other people there, that was the best place to be.
We're talking with Tiki Barber and his agent, Mark Lepso. The Tiki, the idea, the whole part of this is here's a player, a great player, who quits too early, goes into a business, will agree to say it just didn't work out, okay, mm-hmm. in your words. And now you said last night, I need the game. I need a success. I need to get out of bed. I need a reason to get out of bed, which is all very important. I agree. Does it bother you? Do you retrace your steps when you realize here's a terrific player, a wonderful player, and a very delightful, outgoing personality who has been booed out of his own stadium, who is not popular as an ex-Giant? Does that bother you that is the persona you have now in New York City? Does that hurt that you have that right now?
Well, here's the thing, Mike. You know, I grew up in Virginia, where people are cordial about everything that they do. I came and lived in New York for 10 years, played New York for 10 years, and realized that every single person here has an opinion, right? I can't change people's opinions about me based on, honestly, I don't even know what. And so, does it hurt me? Yeah, it does, because I think in some ways people are not appreciating who I was as a player. But does it hurt me that they have an opinion that's negative against me? Not necessarily, because they're all entitled to it. Just like I'm entitled to my own opinions about you or Joe Schmo down the street or Sally, whatever it is.
Why do you think you get booed at Giant Stadium?
You know, it's a lot of things. I'm sure it probably has to do with the fact that I criticize Tom Coughlin and he goes and wins a Super Bowl, or the conversations that I had about Eli Manning got blown out of proportion. Things like that people felt like I, as someone with knowledge, was attacking somebody that I just left, when it really wasn't. It was just giving my opinion about things, and I've always been opinionated. You've known that, Mike. If you ask me a question, I'm going to tell you the answer the most honest way that I can. I'm not going to dance around the bush. Does that get me in trouble sometimes? Yeah, but it's just who I am.
We're talking with Tiki Barber and Mark Lepsota. I'm not going to ask you anything about your girlfriend or your wife. That's your business, and I don't believe in bringing those people into my program, so I won't. But if I remember right, you pretty much had the same background growing up I did. You didn't grow up with a father, right?
No, my dad left when I was very young.
Well, so did mine. So I think we discussed that once, and we had the same background.
Yeah.
The thing I took last night that I never heard you mention, I never heard you talk about your kids in the piece last night. What's your relationship like with your kids?
Hey, Mike, Mike, let me say one thing. In fairness to Tiki, it wasn't that he didn't
Mark,
talk about
I didn't
it.
Ask you the question. Please let him answer the question, please.
We spent hours
I just
and
asked
hours
him a question.
I just, 12 minutes, so I'm just,
Mark, I just asked him, I just said he never mentioned his kids. I asked him a question about his kids, that's all.
I mentioned my kids a lot. Obviously, it didn't make the piece.
Okay.
And I have a very good relationship with my boys. They're actually here spending the week with me the first week of summer before they go off to camp. And we're having a good time. You know, I have an unfortunate personal situation that unfortunately a lot of people go through. And you try to deal with it the best you can. And unfortunately, being in New York, something that was very personal to me and my family got that plastered on the front page of newspapers for weeks. And you know, it's unfair in a lot of ways, but it's not something I can complain about. Obviously, my success got me a lot of notoriety as an athlete, and you get held to a standard sometimes, and I don't know if it's fully attainable, not just for athletes but for anyone. And when you fall or make missteps, it gets exploited.
But are your kids doing well?
They're doing very well. You know, anyone who's been through divorce or type of personal situations that I'm going through realize, you know, that kids, they struggle at first, but then they adjust. They're very resilient. They're very understanding. And at the end of the day, when they grow up, they'll know that I wasn't a perfect person, but they'll know that I love them, and that's all that matters to me, and that's all I care about.
We're talking with Tiki Barber. All right. You're going to try and make a comeback now. I'll ask you this first, Mark, before I ask Tiki about the football. How many teams have, can you give me a number of how many teams have expressed serious interest in Tiki?
Yeah, I can.
How
no
many?
Problem. Mike, as far as serious interest?
Serious.
I would say two, but I can tell you that we feel we know where we're going. And that team that we feel we know we're going to, I've had conversations accordingly. I'm not going to get into it. Obviously, the Giants, you know, when we sent the letter, I sent the letter to Jerry Reese and to the commissioner's office asking the Giants to take Tiki off their reserve retired list and release him immediately. That was so there would be no issues with any tampering. Not that, you know, Mike, and you can appreciate this, when the Daily News puts on the cover, you know, Tiki, quote, I'm coming back, and Giants, we don't want you. No one on this end thought we were going back to play for the Giants. That being said, we had to go through some exercises to make sure there was no issues for tampering, because the Giants did retain Tiki's rights for 2 years on his contract from a few years ago. That being said, we feel we know where we're going. We've had conversations. Tiki, in his head, you know, has a handful of coaches that he feels would be the right fit, the right systems. But, you know, if you're asking me point blank, I think there's a couple of teams. There are a couple of teams that have shown serious interest, but we feel we know where we're going.
And, Mark, you can explain this part to me. Because he's out of the league, is he allowed to be talked to right now where another player would not be able to be talked to?
You know, Mike, it's a gray area. It's a very good question. And the answer is, when the lockout did break there for that 24-hour period about a month and a half ago, right around the draft, I did have some brief conversation where it was technically okay to do so. Prior to, there was conversation before the lockout started towards the back in February, March. Right now, we're on ice. We cannot do anything. And in a crazy way, the lockout has worked out to Tiki's benefit, being with Carini on a daily basis, one-on-one training. But yes, we want this lockout to end, just like the fans and the coaches and the players and everybody else and the owners want. So we're not talking to anybody right now. There's been no contact.
Okay, Tiki. And let me get this, as I get to the football stuff, let me double back, because I don't know who said that when Armin said someone said entitled. I don't know who exactly said that. But let me say this. I know that's nonsense, because you came to Fan and worked overnight when you were still playing. You have always poured yourself into your work. The idea that you didn't work hard, I think that you were placed too high in the business. You were placed in the NFL before you played college, okay?
That
was my point to you all along, is that you didn't learn the steps to get there. But you were, and we don't have to go back and retrace that, but my point is you were always a very hard worker. You will be a very hard worker now. I think everyone knows that. The question is, can you work yourself back to a level anywhere near where you were at this age, or is that impossible?
As a football player. Here's the thing, Mike, and it's honestly, I believe that I can. I feel physically strong. I mean, working out with Joe for the last, you know, 3.5 months now, I'm stronger than I've ever been. My mentality is right, and obviously in the game of football, half of it is up in your head. If you believe you can do something, you can. I know that sounds like hokey, you know, cliche stuff, but it really does. There's a lot of guys that have doubt, and they ultimately ended up being unsuccessful because of that doubt. So I have the confidence. The question will be, am I in the physical shape to be able to, you know, run for, you know, 50 yards and then come back and do it again, you know, two plays later? That muscle fatigue that comes from actually playing the game, I can't know until I actually get on the field and start playing the game. But do I feel great right now? I absolutely do. Do I feel motivated and driven? I absolutely do. And do I believe I'm going to be successful? Yes. What role I'm going to be in? I don't know. I don't even know what team I'm going to be on. But I know one thing. Wherever I go, I'm going to make the guys there better because I'm not going to settle for mediocrity. I never have, and I never will.
And you think you can be a regular every down back still, or do you think you need to now be a situational player?
You know, it depends on what the circumstances, you know, present. If they need a guy to be the every down back, I'm going to bust my butt to be that guy. Do I have the youth that I used to where you can recover? No, I don't. But do I have the desire? Yes. If I have to fall into a situational role, that's what I'll do. But we all know that the NFL has changed. It's not the NFL of 1999 and 2000 where you had one guy taking 35 carries a game and never leaving the field. Now it's, you know, you need one guy takes 10 carries. Another guy gets, you know, 12 carries. Other guy comes in to be your third down back and catch passes. So the way that the league has changed, it benefits me, and especially a guy you know, like me who can learn an offense quickly and be a smart player on the field, not just one who benefits with the ball in my hand.
We're talking with Tiki Barber, also his agent Mark Lefselter on the line. Tiki, you've seen this now firsthand. I mean, it's funny thing in our society. We root for guys to make it, and then when they make it, we root for them to fail. I mean, that's just the way that's the way the world is. And then, but we also root for people. Everyone roots for people once they get smacked down to come back. I think you'll see that too. What have you learned during this whole thing? Have you taken from this fall from grace?
Well, you know what the greatest thing I learned, Mike, is you find out who your friends are. Right, and even guys who you don't think that are going to step up and say, we're supporting you, you know, I'm behind you, I know you've been through some bad things, those type of little encouragements go a long way. You know, some people will run away and never talk to you again, and a lot of people in my life who were very close to me did that. But guys, you know, quite honestly, Mike, like you came up to me and you said, you know, Tiki, everybody goes through these things. You know, you figure it out and your life goes forward. You'll be okay. Those type of things, you know, from someone who I've had combative conversations with over the years, it means something to me. You know, it's why I respect you as a journalist and a broadcaster, because you say it like it is, right? Whether you believe it or not, you say it like it is. And so I've learned that there's certain people who know me and push for me regardless of the negativity that surrounds me, and that's gone a long way.
How bad did this get? I mean, did it really get to the point where you had trouble getting out of bed? I mean, was it really bad at one point?
Well, you know what it is, Mike. I've always had a plan, right? You know, so when I was playing, you know, I was getting good as a football player, and I had this other path that I was walking on in the media world, doing stuff that most players would never do in their off seasons. And so I had this great plan, right? So I walk away from the game, and I jump onto this other path that seems to be going well. And then all of a sudden, it ends, and I don't have a plan. So for the first time in my adult, let's say, professional life, there's no path for me to walk. Right, and so it's not like I'm, you know, feeling horrible. It's just that I feel lost, and then I go through this personal situation that's not fun for anybody. And I think anybody who's gone through it can tell you it's not fun. It's not easy, and so all these things start compounding on top of each other all at one time. My grandmother passes away, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and you start to ask the question, why me? And you don't want to do anything. And when that happens, the people who need you and rely upon you, they start to question your worth and your being. Sports got me out of it. You know, Yahoo was very loyal. I've been doing stuff for them for a long time. Right after the explicative hit the fan in April, they had me cover the draft, got me right back into working, and got me back into sports. And that type of thing I will never forget, because it pulled me out of what was a very bad place for me.
Well, I saw you sitting there next to me during the Super Bowl, and you know, I walked over and said to you, you know what, you should still be playing. So, I mean, that's what I said,
you know,
every time I saw you.
That's not an uncommon utterance, Mike.
Yeah.
You know,
I did. I mean, that's true. Well, you did leave too soon, but now coming back is tough. What's the one thing in closing that you have had people say about you or has been written about you that really just really gnaws at you, that you just can't get rid of? What's the perception, the public perception that really bothers you?
There's really only one thing that's ever bothered me, because I spent hours, countless hours, you know, connecting with people, spending, you know, an hour and a half after practice at training camp, or, you know, going into a school and, you know, spending hours, you know, signing autographs, or I went to a baseball game 2 days ago with my kids, and, you know, the Rockwood Boulders just opened this new stadium, you know, getting inundated by fans. I've never said no to anyone. So this perception that I'm some kind of bad person because I went through a bad personal situation in my life and professionally, it bothers me, because I'm not a bad person, and I don't think anybody who's ever met me will tell you that I am.
All right, thanks for. I appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you during the season. We wish you luck with football. I wish you health and a lot of success. Thank you, Mark, for putting this together. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Mike. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Tiki. Have a good rest of the
Mark,
day.
Tiki Barber, Mark Lepsalter.